Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious brethren that are coming in, for those that will be listening on other devices, and later on recording. Saba blessing everyone. And this beautiful Sabbath is spring, but it's kind of sleeting over here. I hope you have very good weather in your neck of the wood. This is our part two review of our chapter 73. Entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, but this is our part 9. On this Sabbath, April 9, 2022. I hope everyone can see the presentation clearly, dear ones. We are going to allow our dear brother Dave to be able to have the hymn for our Tiny Tot songs. And that is 508, entitled Anywhere with Jesus.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to, I'm not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep when the gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken evermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If anyone of the little tiny tot helped by their parents or elder siblings would like to open their section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God bless me, everyone. Thank you, God, for this morning. Keep my auntie, protect my mommy. Thank you, God, to protect everybody who's at this. To let the Sabbath and we protect the word that we about to learn and
bless us, keep us, and guide us.
Bless us, keep us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, Christ, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Well, dear little ones, this is the time where we can hear all that you have done at your home with the blessings of helping your mommies or your daddies or your family, uncles or aunts, in whatever way to glorify God and what the Lord had helped you doing this week, you may be able to share your testimony. Better help your mommy.
This week on Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing or Helper, I would like to highlight Haley again for this week as her dad was washing the dishes. She went and was trying to assist him in washing the dishes. And she's always just so ready to help in that way. So I just wanted to take a moment to highlight that and hope that she will grow and learn and keep that tenacity as she's growing.
Amen. Keep up the good works, little ones. You will have Christ smiling upon you and blessing as well. Well, this is the section where we ask our dear brother Grave to continue on the review for the section of the story of Jesus, chapter 4, the flight into Egypt. Dear brother, I believe your mic is off.
I believe you're right. Me and that mic, we just don't get along. All right, the Bible verses for the second part of our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 16 and 20. Naturally, of the King James Version. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He was angry. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Next slide. The flight into Egypt. Okay. Herod had not been honest in saying that he wanted to go and worship Jesus. He feared that the Savior would grow up to be a king and take his kingdom from him. He wanted to find the child that he might have him put to death. What a terrible thing to do. The wise men prepared to return and tell Herod, but the angel of the Lord appeared unto them in a dream and sent them home another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Matthew 2:13. Joseph did not wait until morning. He rose at once, and with Mary and the child, started by night on the long journey. Wise men had given costly or expensive gifts to Jesus, and in this way God provided for the expenses of the journey and their stay in Jerusalem, in Egypt, until they should return to their homeland. Herod was very angry when he found that the wise men had gone home another way. He knew what God by his prophet had said about Jesus, about Christ's coming. Next slide. Let's see here. What did I do? Here we go. He knew how the star had been sent to guide the wise men. Yet he was determined to destroy Jesus. In his wrath, he sent soldiers to kill all the children that were in Bethlehem. you know, people usually have soft spots in their hearts for babies, for children. This guy had no soft spot. His heart was like a stone. He wanted them everybody killed from 2 years old and under. Matthew 2:16. Apparently, the wise men told Herod, well, about 2 years ago, we saw a star in the sky, and we've been traveling for a long time following it. So that's where Herod may have gotten the idea that to kill all the children from 2 years old and under. How strange that a man should fight against God. What an awful scene this slaying or killing of the innocent children must have been. Herod had before done many cruel things, but his wicked life was soon to end. He died a terrible death. Joseph and Mary remained in Egypt till after the death of Herod. Then the angel appeared to Joseph and said, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Matthew 2:20. Joseph had hoped to make his home in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. But on coming into Judea, he learned that Herod's son, Archelaus, was reigning in the place of his father. This made Joseph afraid to go there, and he did not know what to do. So God sent an angel to instruct him. Following the directions of the angel, Joseph returned to his old home in Nazareth. This came from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 25 through 27. Now, I think we have some questions here. And just, the first question would be...
Just 1 little minute, dear brother. We are going to have the very section from The Desire of Ages. But our story will be able to end and renew a new chapter, chapter 5, next Saturday. And that will be entitled Shy Life of Jesus in a Tiny Thought Lesson. And that will be April 16th. Now we are going to continue with the review of our study for the questions that is coming ahead. Okay, dear brother, you can be able to review the section 6 of The Desire Ages on the story that we just read.
You want me to read what's on the screen right now?
Yes, dear brother. This is the review section for today.
Okay. Satan was bent on shutting out the divine light from the world, and he used his utmost cunning to destroy the Savior. But he who never slumbers nor sleeps was watching over his beloved son. He who had rained manna from heaven for Israel and had fed Elijah in a time of famine provided in a heathen land a refuge for Mary and the child Jesus. And through the gifts of the Magi from a heathen country, the Lord supplied the means for the journey into Egypt and the sojourn or the stay in the land of strangers. The Magi had been among the first to welcome the Redeemer. Their gift was the first that was laid at his feet. And although that gift, and through that gift, what privilege of ministry was theirs? The offering from the heart that loves, God delights to honor, giving its highest efficiency in service for him. If we have given our hearts to Jesus, we also shall bring our gifts to him, our gold and silver, our most precious earthly possessions, our highest mental and spiritual endowments. Is that a word they can understand? Mental and spiritual endowments, that's our understanding of Bible and the world. We will these will be freely devoted to him who loved us and gave himself for us. Herod in Jerusalem patiently awaited the return of the wise men. I think I read that wrongly. Herod in Jerusalem impatiently awaited the return of the wise men. I can't imagine him being patient. As time passed and they did not appear, his suspicions were aroused. The unwillingness of the rabbis to point out the Messiah's birthplace seemed to indicate that they had penetrated the design, his design, and that the Magi had purposely avoided him. He was maddened at the thought. Next slide. Craft had failed. In other words, he tried to deceive somebody, but it didn't help him. But there was left the resort to force. He would make an example of this child king. Those haughty Jews should see what they might expect in their attempts to place a monarch on the throne. Soldiers were at once sent to Bethlehem with orders to put to death all the children of 2 years and under. The quiet homes of the city of David witnessed those scenes of horror that 600 years before had been opened to the prophet. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. This calamity the Jews had brought upon themselves. If they had been walking in the faithfulness and humility, in faithfulness and humility before God, he would in a signal manner have made the wrath of the king harmless to them. But they had separated themselves from God by their sins and rejected the Holy Spirit, which was their only shield. They had not studied the scriptures with a desire to conform to the will of God. They had searched the prophecies which could be interpreted to exalt themselves and to show how God despised all other nations. It was their proud boast that the Messiah was to come as a king, conquering his enemies and treading down the heathen in his wrath. Thus, they had excited the hatred of their rulers through their misrepresentation of Christ's mission. Satan had proposed to compass or complete the destruction of the Savior. But instead of this, it turned upon their own heads, Desire of Ages 64 and 5. All right, the review. Who warned the wise men to go back to see Herod? Who warned the wise men not to go back to see Herod?
The angels.
The angels gave them a dream. Isn't that something? He didn't just give dreams to his own people. He gave dreams to these called wise men that came from the east. What else was told Joseph? Remember the angel came to Joseph in a dream and told him something? Do you remember what he said?
The king has died, but didn't go back to Bethlehem.
She said the king had died. And when Joseph was thinking that they could go back to Bethlehem where Jesus was born, what were they told? Not to go back.
Not to go back.
That's right. The angel helped direct Joseph to go back to Nazareth for a reason, which we may hear about later. Okay, and what did Joseph do? He obeyed the angel. He went back to Nazareth. I think it was Nathaniel that later said can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So Nazareth was kind of a bad city, and I don't know which one to compare it to. Maybe Chicago. It's a wicked city. Of course, so are a lot of others. But anyway, it's good to listen to God's voice and to do what he says for us to do. Thank you for listening and participating, and I'll give it back to Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. And parents, you could use these stories along to kind of help the children understand the third angel's message. We still have angels' messages that is still guiding us today, that we may be able to be obedient to God's bidding. And welcome to all the dear brethren. This is the time our tiny thoughts and parents will learn precious lessons in nature and the gems that are lying between, beneath his creation. And we are going to pass the next section to our dear brother Josh. So let's have our listening ears, dear ones. This is the Water of Life Part 7 Review, Wisdom from Above.
So I blessings everyone, and here's today's lesson concerning water. But first, we will review everything we know about Herod. Research. Herod. The wise men of the East were truly wise men. Herod and Jerusalem impatiently awaited the return of the wise men. As time passed and they did not appear, his suspicions were roused. The unwillingness of the rabbis to point out the Messiah's birthplace seemed to indicate that they had penetrated his design and that the Magi had purposely avoided him. He was maddened at the thought. Craft had failed, but there was left the resort to force. He would make an example of this child king. Those haughty Jews should see what they might expect in their attempts to place a monarch on the throne. You can see here that Herod wanted to teach the people a lesson, and so that they could be reminded that he was the king and he was not going to let anyone take his throne. Anyway, soldiers were at once sent to Bethlehem with orders to put to death all the children 2 years and under. The quiet homes of the city of David witnessed those scenes of horror that 600 years before had been opened to the prophet. In Ramah was there a voice for lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. This act of cruelty is one of the last that darkened the reign of Herod. Soon after the slaughter of the innocents, he was himself compelled to yield to that doom which none can turn aside. He died a fearful death. Desire of Ages, page 65 to 66. Herod was not a man of integrity. He was jealous that Christ might take his place. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Psalm 8:6. If you have integrity, we could be better people than Herod ever could be. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs 28:5. Research, dreams. The wise men had not penetrated Herod's design toward Jesus. When the object of their journey was accomplished, they prepared to return to Jerusalem, intent to acquaint him with their success. But in a dream, they received a divine message to hold no further communication with him. Avoiding Jerusalem, they set up their own country by another route. In like manner, Joseph received warning to flee into Egypt with Mary and the child. And the angel said, "Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Joseph obeyed without delay, setting out on the journey by night for greater security. Desire of Ages, page 64. The wise men were with men of integrity, and no doubt Mary and Joseph were as well. Herod was not a man of integrity. He was a stranger to the voice of God, and no doubt an enemy too. Remind. As you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. 2, on cold days, as you are inside making a quilt with a special pattern, if knitting is your interest, remember your lesson and the pattern of the hoarfrost in your life. Observe water in its different forms, a solid, liquid, and a gas. 2, notice the fat that builds up in your freezer. And 3, visit someone who has a new baby and take them a little gift and tract about Christ's second coming. And the lesson today is about snow and sleet. Nature, snow and sleet. Snowflakes are made of tiny ice crystals. Characters are made of little daily acts. Ice crystals are formed from water vapor and cold clouds. They bump against one another, stick together, and form snowflakes. Correct little acts can form into good habits. The soft white snow can also be very powerful. During a snowstorm, roads were covered and homes are cut off from the world. Avalanches of snow can sweep down a mountainside and cause fearful destruction in their paths. These things teach us the power in little things. The quietly falling snowflakes coming from above can remind us of the silent ways instructions from heaven can come to people, like the dreams that the wise men and Joseph had. Snow crystals grow into plate-like and columnar patterns, depending on the temperature and other things. Remember, plate-like crystals are flat and six-sided. They can also grow in the shape of six-pointed stars, with each point looking like a fern. Columnar crystals look like long needles of ice. Some snow crystals are hollow inside. A snow crystal shape may change from one shape to another as the crystal passes through the varied temperatures in each layer of air. The temperature change causes the change in the snowflake. The wise men had to change their plans when the angel told them what Herod planned to do. So did Joseph. When snow crystals or raindrops fall through cold air, we call this sleet. It freezes into small particles of clear ice as it falls. Falling ice crystals that collide with very cold water droplets become snow pellets, or grapple. When they hit one another again and again, the pellets grow until they form hail. This reminds us of what will happen to those who do not form right characters or integrity. Read Revelation 16:21. Jesus came to show us how to develop integrity. Snowflakes come in many sizes. One snowflake can have as many as 100 ice crystals forming a snowflake no larger than 1 inch or 2.5 centimeters across. Snowflakes have many different shapes, but all have six sides. Snow has much less water than rain. The number 6 in the Bible reminds us of man. The lovely snowflakes with six sides can remind us of man and the beautiful character traits like integrity he can have through Christ. Men do not look individual at very many of the billions of lovely snowflakes that fall each year. But just the same, the heavenly artist forms each one with such delicate beauty as though it were to be displayed before the universe. Many people who live humble lives sometimes feel that whatever they do is not worth anything. But God notices and appreciates the beauty of their characters, even though they go unnoticed by the world. After the early frosts of wintertime have killed the living green carpet of the earth, the snow comes along to cover the brown, barren earth with its mantle of perfect purity. This reminds us of why Jesus came. He would cover the ugly damage made by the chilling frost of sin in our lives with the snowy mantle of his righteousness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. And I'll give it back to Mom. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. And that is a scripture song. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that is just a reminder of that scripture song. So remember, dear ones, anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are just coming in. Our opening song is a hymn to our review section, entitled, I Am Thine, O Lord. If any one of the dear brethren would like to join in us, in singing the hymn, you may unmute your mic to do so. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in love. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If any one of the elder siblings, our guests, or mommies or daddies would like to open our family review for our section, may you please unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessed everyone. Thank you, God, for the word I'm about to learn. And please guide us and please protect the people that's in the Sabbath day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Our opening scripture to our review lesson taken from John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3 with margin.
I will come.
Lord. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are joining us. What have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? But before we hear your comments or sharing your questions answered from the review section and what we have retained with the six questions, let's take a few minutes to reread our lesson from part 9. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
First union with Christ.
Nice.
Formed. Hello. Hi, Sister Shatha. Sabbath blessings. Welcome.
Hello. Happy Sabbath.
Blessed Sabbath, dear sister.
Happy Sabbath.
Abel. In me.
We must abide. Christ said, abide in me.
Abide in me.
And I in you.
As.
As the branch
cannot bear fruit of
itself
branch
except
it's able
abide
in the
vine.
Abide in me. This is no
casual
trip.
Touch.
No. On.
Connection.
The bench
becomes
a part of the
living
vine.
Good job. Next slide, please.
Continuing. The communication of life, strength, and fruitfulness from the root to the branches is
unobstructed
and constant, separated from the vine. The branch cannot live no more, said Jesus. Can you live apart from me? The life you have received from me can be preserved only by
continual communion.
Without me, you cannot overcome one sin or resist one temptation.
Okay. Can you read? Thank you. That was from Desire of Ages, page 676, paragraph 1. Can you read what it says here in this box?
Okay. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John verses
chapter 15,
verse 4.
And on the picture here it says?
The branch is in the vine.
Okay. Amen. Continuing the reading, Desire of Ages, page 676. Abide in me, and I in you. Abiding in Christ means the constant receiving of his Spirit, a life of unreserved surrender to his service. The channel of communication must be open continually between man and his God. As the vine branch constantly draws the sap from the living vine, so we are to cling to Jesus. and receive from him by faith the strength and perfection of his own character. Desire of Ages, page 676, paragraph 2. And on the slide, we see a picture, and it's a picture of a grapevine, and it says, remain in me. And also, there's another picture that shows a child looking up in a field, and it says, helping your child connect with God through nature. And amen.
The root sends its nourishment through the branch to the outermost twig. So Christ communicates the current of spiritual strength to every believer. So long as the soul is united to Christ, there is no danger that it will wither or decay. Desire of Ages, page 676, paragraph 3. In the top slide, it says, Jesus is the vine. I, as a believer, am a branch. The Holy Spirit produces his fruit. And the bottom slide, it says, God's grace. Hey, Layla. Continuing the reading. Oh, her mouth is hurting. Your mouth hurts. Okay. The Desire of Ages, page 676. The life of the vine will be manifest through fragrant fruit on the branches. He that abideth in me, said Jesus, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. When we live by faith on the Son of God, the fruits of the Spirit will be seen in our lives. Not one will be missing. Desire of Ages, page 676, paragraph 4. The top slide says, abide in me. The middle slide says, I am nothing without you, Jesus. You are my everything. The bottom slide says, fruit of the Spirit, coming from King James Version, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
The Desire of Ages, page 676. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. While the graft is outwardly united with the vine, there may be no vital connection. Then there will be no growth or fruitfulness. So there may be an apparent connection with Christ without a real union with him by faith. A profession of religion places men in the church, but the character and conduct show whether they are in connection with Christ. Next slide, please. Continuing, if they bear no fruit, they are false branches. Their separation from Christ involves a ruin as complete as that represented by the dead branch. If a man abide not in me, the Christ, he is not cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Desire of Ages, page 676, paragraph 5. And on the side in the bottom is, again, John 15, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
And go ahead.
Okay, thanks. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. From the chosen 12 who had followed Jesus, one as a withered branch was about to be taken away. The rest were to pass under the pruning knife of bitter trial. Jesus, with solemn tenderness, explained the purpose of the husbandman. Next slide, please.
Continuing. Sister Yi, feel free to take the slide. I'll bubble down.
Thank you, Sister Cece. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Continuing. The pruning will cause pain, but it is the Father who applies the knife. He works with no wanton hand or indifferent heart. There are branches trailing upon the ground. This must be cut loose from the earthly supports to which their tendrils are fastening. They are to reach heavenward and find their support in God. And on the slide says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:7-8. Amen. And somebody.
Happy and blessed Sabbath, everyone. Continuing the reading. The exceeding forage that draw away the life current from the fruit must be pruned off. The overgrown must be cut out to give room for the healing beings on the Son of Righteousness. Amen. The husbandman prunes away the harmful growth that the fruit may be richer and more abundant. Desire of Ages 676, paragraph 6. And then, and next to the slide, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he take away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he prumeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Amen. John 15:2. Amen.
Can I ask a question real quick, please?
Sure, dear sister.
Is the pruning, the husbandman prunes away the harmful growth, is that like our obstacles and struggles in life?
Those are the instrumentality that the Lord will use to be able to prune us. Sometimes we need to be pruned back. Sometimes we need to be able to be pruned to grow even more. Yes, those are instruments. All the things that happen to our lives, it is the Father using these instrumentality to be able to grow in grace and to also to bear fruit. And we will talk more about that when we get to the review. Welcome to all of those that are just joining us. Let's consider this verse for our review. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown with these part 9 of the study? Well, we are going to reread the 6th question that we held from last Saturday for those that may not have the access to see the screen, that they can also give the hope of their faith by the answer to those questions by God's grace. The first one is, who is the main character or characters in this lesson? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? Number six, what did you learn from this lesson? And if you have access to type it in the room, you can be able to do that in the chat. And if it's not, you could use the mic to respond. Now we are going to ask if anyone would like to share the first answer to the question. May you unmute your mic.
Okay. Who is the main character, or who are the main characters? Number one.
Number one.
Tifa. Yeah. You gotta talk to, let everybody know what the answer is. Say it louder.
I can't.
Jesus.
Jesus.
And the disciples.
And the disciples.
The answer to question number two was the main idea for for this section of our story. Jesus compared with a grapevine and abiding with him.
I'd like to add to number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? I would like to add to what Josh just mentioned, that we can of ourselves do nothing without Christ. So we have to be joined with him and recognize that he is our Lord and Savior, and he is our guide, our stay, our all in all. And I think that's what being a branch on the vine is for us, to be able to be sustained and maintained. And that's the main idea that I got from the story.
The answer to question three, where the story took place, is at the foot of Mount Olivet. The answer to question four, where the story begins, is Christ saying, "Abide in me and I in you."
And just add into that as well, when did the story begin? We know that this is a continuation, a preparation for what was to come, what was to happen to them. So just wanted to add that as well. How could number five, if no one else has anything to add to number four? How could you relate to the story? I could relate to the story in the sense, day by day, in everything that we do. If we don't let Christ guide us and be our all in all, that we see that we could take something that is so small, and by our own self and our own understanding, which is so limited, make it into something so much more than what it needs to be. And this is happening not just to me, but to so many of who are those that are believers. And it's just a lesson for us to go back. Go back and be grafted to God. Go back and let everything be in him, through him, by him. And that is how I could relate to the story.
Amen. I would like to add as well, if we do go back, I'm going to piggyback on what it is that you shared, dear Sister Cece. If we do go back in that very moment, the trials will become, he's not going to remove the trial. It will become a little bit easier to bear, because we are not caught off guard. And with those things that is happening, we can see not only the hands of God in it, but also lessons that maybe would have been more difficult to understand if we didn't have the experience of these things. So the connection with God is a safe ground. It is really an edge around us that we can be able to see things, not in the eyes of our own understanding, but to be able to see what the Lord was trying to do in our lives to even save us from even greater danger. So I wanted to be able to add to that in number 5. Is there anybody else that would like to share? You may unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Yes, I would also like to add a number 5. The way I relate is that constantly I have to study daily. And as I advance more and more in my Christian walk, I realize I need more and more and more. And as I am advancing more in the studies, and I realize how much there is to learn about the Word of God and about God and what He has in His plans for us. And that is the constant need of grafting into the vine for your substance. And that's how I relate from it. And you grow as you continuously get your spiritual nourishment.
And I too would like to add to number 5, how could you relate to the story? Yesterday I was actually looking at this tree. It had no leaves on it, so it was standing up straight like how an evergreen tree stands. But I noticed how the branches come out, and it reminded me of how the body is formed and how our veins and our body come from our spine and just continue to grow outwards. But I'm saying that to say that life is from God. So regardless of what it is that we're going through, we might find ourselves trying to do things on our own because we think we got it together. But the thing is, we might end up putting ourselves in a deeper ditch than what we were intended to be in the first place. But when we realize that the life that we're living is so quick, and that we're trying to get things done on our own pace, and we realize it's not getting anywhere, we always have to steer back to the Lord, and that's where our life is coming from. So I learned that, well, I'm in the process of learning that right now with all that's going on with me. I'm finding myself on certain days in a depression trying to find my way through it, but it's kind of weird because depression we have to go to God to get out of depression. But at the same time, depression does not allow you to go anywhere because you can't see anything. But the one thing I do know is that our life and our light comes from the Lord. So in order for me to be able to navigate through what I'm going through, the little light that's there, the knowledge of what I do have of the Lord, is what will allow me to go back to the Word of God, so that that light will be able to expand so that I can see myself through the tunnel and come out of it. So that is my relation to this story.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And to piggyback on what you said, this is the reason why the Father has to prune. That's the reason why when there's too much foliage in the vine, he has to take out to the area where the light of the Son of Righteousness can be able to reflect upon us. And this is why that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is so important. There has no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Oh, God is faithful to not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, But with the same temptation made a way to escape, that ye might be able to bear it. That ye might be able to bear it. And I will read out what our dear brother had posted in the room. Just give me a few sections. Just a minute. Just here. Here it is. To help lessen depression, make sure you cut down your intake of sugar and sugary products, as they affected. That's what it says. Sorry, let me just. After effects, sorry, of eating too much sugar leads to low blood sugar, which depresses the body system, which, just a minute, let me just write a little bit, okay, which depresses the body system, which then makes emotional depression worse. After effects. Thank you so much, dear Sister Yiyi. And now we have number 6. If any one of the dear brethren would like to share their answer for number 6, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
I learned that if we live by Christ, our lives will be pure and holy. But by letting Christ be in our lives, we are being part, by being the branches, is left to him who is the vine, we are actually being part of his spiritual family. And if we just cling to him by obeying his commandments and loving him, and even doing as he wishes us to do, then we will stay at his family because of his love for us forever.
Amen. We have come to the ending of the review of number 6, and we would like to share some thoughts from the book called The Youth Instruction, and it will be paragraph 4 all the way to 5 and 6. Is there any one of the brethren that would like to share the thoughts? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sharing a thought from the youth instructor. The creative works of God are pictured history of ministry. The sun is doing its appointed work in ministering to all animate and inanimate nature. It causes the trees to grow and yield their blessings and fruit. It causes vegetation to flourish for the benefit of man. Sorry. The moon also has its mission. It makes light in the nighttime for our happiness, and the stars also are marshaled in the heavens to minister to the enjoyment of the world. None of us can fully understand the appointment of these silent watchers, but they all have their work of ministry. The deep waters, too, have their place in God's great plan. Youth Instructor, August 19, 1897, paragraph 4.
The mountains.
Sorry, go ahead, Elder Ross.
Oh, thank you, sister. The mountains and the rocks are subjects for meditation and contain lessons for the student. Everything in nature, the humblest flower and the grass that carpets the earth with its covering of green, proclaims the goodness and love of God to man. Youth Instructor, August 19, 1897, paragraph 5.
These themes of God's creation have their foundation in the plans and methods of the deity. His thoughts and works are so connected with one another that we can read in nature the great love of God for a fallen world. The universe contains one great masterpiece of infinite wisdom and the innumerable diversities of his great works, which in their matchless variety form a perfect whole. Youth Instructor, August 19, 1897, paragraph 5.
By close investigations, God's innumerable providences in the natural world are found to have connection one with another. And in tracing these links in the chain of providence, we are led to become better acquainted with the great center. This is a truth worthy of our careful study. Jesus Christ is the one great unity. He possesses the attributes that harmonize all diversities. And he, the gift above all others, was given to our world to give expression to the mind and character of God, that every intelligent being, if he will, may see God in the revelation of his Son. Youth Instructor, August 19, 1897, paragraph 5 and 6. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. We have the poem as well to share. It's entitled, The Sunrise Comes, and this is taken from the Children Bible Activity Book, Sunlight Education Ministry, in the section of the homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
A king comes in... Sorry, go ahead. Who's that person is?
It's me, my dear Cece.
Hi, Willow.
Okay. A king comes in state from the Orient. Hear you, his foot royal tread. He chose out before him his banner of purple and crimson and red.
Far
up the sky,
towards
the
zenith,
he
One of life.
He
embraces
the
earth.
Something
somber
and cold.
The wandering world waited to welcome the glorious prince from afar, and a light from his countenance streaming has quenched every herald and star.
Amen. All nature is working to greet him, and dark shades of night flee away, as forth from the lands of the Orient comes rolling the beautiful day.
Thou,
Son,
of my soul,
blessed,
Savior,
rise,
thou, on my
spirit's
dark
night,
and why are you stuttering? Don't stutter.
And
with
the
bright
light
of
thy
presence
put
sorrow
and
doubting
to
flight. Oh, scatter the mist of the lowlands that hide from my vision the sky, and strengthen thy life-giving glances, the things that are needy to die.
Then shall the life blossom out in its beauty, and every dark cloud flee away, as into my heart's dim recesses come sweeping thy beautiful day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. If there's testimony, we could hold it until the end of our study today because we are almost over 30 minutes. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue with part 10 of our lesson entitled Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of any of the precious remnant brothers and sisters would like to close this review section of the family with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
We could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for everything that you helped us with and everything that you taught us. Be with us as we head off to the next day. Let us cherish all the lessons that we learned, read them. Let us be able to never forget them, that you are always there to help us with whatever difficulties we may face. Let us be able to always be full of mercy, full of love, full of understanding. Let us be always kind, courteous, obedient, be all things that you need us to be. Let us be always kind and grateful, and obedient, unselfish, be all the traits that you need us to be. We pray that we may be able to help many people nowadays know who you are so they may be able to be prepared for your coming and also that they may prep themselves so that when they can be found righteous in thy sight as we are. Let us always keep on remembering that you're always there to help us no matter what troubles we may face. Let us resist all evil and avoid all the temptations that the devil may tempt us with. Let us always keep on being helpful, be always kind, be always grateful for all that you helped us with. Let us be always thinking of others before we think of ourselves. Be self-forgetful and also be patient with others. Even if others do not wish to hear the gospel, at least we've done our part or doing what you need us to do to tell everyone good news concerning thee. Let us keep on showing our reverence, not just on today, but also every day so that we may be able to stay close with thee and be just as pure and holy as we love you, Lord God, looking forward to meeting the land you promises. This is my prayer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to have our lesson 354 from our chapter 73, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, and that will be part 10. And that will be held April 16, 2022. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath. God bless everyone. Sabbath blessing.